ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Today we are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 9, Chapter 3. The chapter is entitled The Marriage of Sukanya and Chavanamuni, text number 12 through 16. Graham Grahishe Somasya Yagyevamapi Asomopo Kriyatameva Yorupam Pramadanam Yadipsitam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Chavan Muni said, although you are ineligible to drink somaras in sacrifices, I promise to give you a full pot of it. Kindly arrange beauty and youth for me because they are attractive to young women. Text number 13, we continue because there is no purport. Text number 13, translation. The great physicians, the Ashwini Kumaras, very gladly accepted Chavan Muni's proposal. Thus they told the Brahmana, just dive into this lake of successful life. One who bathes in this lake has his desires fulfilled. Text number 14. After saying this, the Ashwini Kumaras caught hold of Chavan Muni, who was an old, diseased invalid with loose skin, white hair, and veins visible all over his body. And all three of them entered the lake, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Chavan Muni was so old that he could not enter the lake alone. Thus, the Ashwini Kumaras caught hold of his body, and the three of them entered the lake. Text 15. Thereafter, three men with very beautiful bodily features emerged from the lake. They were nicely dressed and decorated with earrings and garlands of lotuses. All of them were of the same standard of beauty. Text number 16. Translation. The chaste and very beautiful Sukanya could not distinguish her husband from the two Ashwini Kumaras, for they were equally beautiful. Not understanding who her real husband was, she took shelter of the Ashwini Kumaras. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukanya could have selected any one of them as her husband, for one could not distinguish among them, but because she was chaste, she took shelter of the Ashwini Kumaras so that they could inform her who her actual husband was. A chaste woman will never accept any man other than her husband, even if there be someone equally as husband, as handsome and qualified. Om Agyana. So we are discussing this wonderful section in canto number 9, where this canto has begun with the description of the next birth of Satyavrata Maharaj, wherein he is taking, he is born as the son of Vivaswan Shraddhadev, and he is known as now Vaivaswat Manu. And his whole dynasty is mentioned in this whole ninth canto. So he began the first chapter with how Vaivaswat Manu, he wanted a son for progeny. And he was promised that he will get a son, but he got instead a daughter. So the sages told him that in due course of time, your daughter will become son. And then we read the chapter of Sudyumna, who had double life of alternate months. He was first a male and then a female. And after Sudyumna died and none of his descendants were there, then again, Vaivaswat Manu progenated, and then many great souls came as a son. The whole ninth canto is full of great assembly of souls we mention here. Like this is one, Sukanya was daughter of Sarayajit. And then we also mention about, it's mentioned in 9th canto about how Sarayajit also had his great grandson as Revata Munu, Revata, King Revata, whose daughter was Revati, who was married to Balramji. And it is also mentioned that one of the grandsons of, great grandsons of Vaivaswat Manu also was Amrish Maharaj. And in that dynasty, Mandhata comes, then Khatwang Rishi comes, then Sagar comes, Sagar Putra, Ganga Devi appears from there. And ultimately, Lord Ramchandra appears in that dynasty. From other sons, Ikshvaku, and that dynasty, Yayati comes, Pururava comes, Ranti Dev, Parshuram. And finally, this dynasty will lead to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Krishna will appear. So it's a very wonderful dynasty of great souls appearing. And wonderful lessons are coming from each of the great souls we are reading here. Today we are discussing about the wonderful qualities of Sukanya Devi. And it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions about her chastity in this chapter. And the purport is dedicated to the chastity verse here. Basically, I am not so much involved in congregation preaching, so not much discussion on chastity is there in my lectures. But I'll try. I heard some lectures from devotees and refer to folio, what Prabhupada says on chastity. I was also going through some lectures of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, which he gave in 2005 in the South India Yatra. So I'll speak on that also. It will be more of stories. I can't speak much explanation and philosophy of this. I was hearing a class of His Grace Adhikeshu Prabhu. He's expert in the subject. He speaks very nicely. And he was giving a lecture on chastity. And he was mentioning a very good point, two, three examples about chastity. He was mentioning that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the mention of one lady who was so chaste that she would serve her husband so nicely that whatever the husband wanted, the lady would be ready to do. So in due course of time, this husband got leprosy. He became a leper. And when he was young and he was not a leper, this husband had a desire of enjoying with a prostitute. So he was very repentant that now he will not get his desires fulfilled. So the wife, understanding some anxiety in the husband, asked her one day, what is your problem? And he revealed that I wanted to enjoy with this prostitute. And the wife agreed, no problem, go ahead. But how can I enjoy? I am a leper now. So the wife said, oh, I'll go and serve this prostitute very nicely. And when she is happy with me, then I will take a benediction from her, a boon from her, that she should enjoy with you. So this wife, this chaste lady, she went all the way to the prostitute's house, worked as a maid servant for many, many days. And finally, when the time came for salary, she didn't ask for a salary. And she was mentioning that how, instead of salary, she could, this prostitute could give enjoyment to the husband of this lady. So this prostitute was very moved by this example, that how chaste she is, that she is ready to give any enjoyment at the point of even allowing the husband to enjoy with some other woman. So then Shastras mentioned that how, when the leper came to the house of prostitute, so the prostitute served first food to the leper, and she got the same food, same delicacy, in two different plates. One was a silver plate and another was an iron plate. And she asked the leper that, which plate do you want? So the leper said, same food in both the plates, doesn't matter. And then because Shastra mentioned that this lady was so chaste that even the prostitute got the power to speak Shastra. And when she spoke, that sense enjoyment is like that. Whichever plate it is the same. It is tasteless. So when that prostitute said those words, the leper, actually his eyes opened. And then he went back, he repented. And that was the power of chastity of this lady. That to serve her husband, she went to the extent of even going to the prostitute and serving her. Prabhuji also was mentioning Adhikeshu Prabhu about one nice story about Vishwamitra Muni. So Vishwamitra Muni, when he was doing his tapasya, he was trying to become a brahmana. He was trying his best and he was not able to get what he needed. And therefore he was many, many times in an angry mood. And he would curse many people. So one time when Vishwamitra Muni was doing tapasya, one bird came on the top of the tree where he was, under which he was meditating. And this bird passed tool on Vishwamitra Muni. And Vishwamitra Muni became so angry, he cursed the bird, and the bird turned into ashes. The same Vishwamitra Muni went ahead, and it is mentioned he went for Madhukari in one village. And then he was standing at the door of one family, and he was shouting loudly, "Give me some alms, give me some alms." And that time the lady of the house, she was busy serving her husband. And therefore she was so busy serving her husband, she knew that Vishwamitra Muni has come on the door. But because she was so busy serving her husband, she did not go and respond. She made Vishwamitra Muni to wait. And Vishwamitra Muni pronounced the same curse which he had just done to the bird. And instead of, and he tried pronouncing the curse, but nothing happened. Nothing happened to the husband, nothing happened to the wife. And the purport to the story is that how Vishwamitra Muni's curse could not work because the lady was so chaste. She was so dedicated to her husband that the power of chastity was much more greater than the power of curse of Vishwamitra Muni. And then Adikeshwapu was mentioning one more example of Renuka. She was the wife of, I think, Sujamadagni, the father of Parashuram. So Renuka was so chaste that she had a power. Because of her power of her chastity, she would go to the banks of a river and collect water in her sari. And the water would not go via through the sari. She would actually be able to collect water in her sari and get it for the sacrifice of Jamadagni. That was the power of her chastity. And one day, when she could not do it, Jamadagni came to know that there is some problem, some mistake. And then she reported that how, when she went to the river to fetch the water, she saw a handsome Gandharva and her mind became agitated for some time. So Jamadagni came to know that because of the chastity went down, therefore the power also went down to carry water in the sari. So these are some examples which shows from Shastra how the power of chastity of a lady is. It can really transform anything in this world. So while we are discussing about one more example, we have of one nice drama which devotees performed on Satyavan and Savitri in our annual drama festival long back. We saw the power of Savitri there, that how she was so powerful, she could even resist Yamraj not taking her husband. And Yamraj had to give back the life of her husband. So this is the power of chastity of an ideal lady in the Vedic culture. However, in Kali Yuga, we find such examples are very rare. Why? Because in the modern age, the age of modernism, where woman's liberation is given much more importance, chastity is given not much care. The word chastity has become a very orthodox or very bygone word. In today's age, no one will be like Savitri in one sense, because Savitri would kind of ready to even go behind Yamraj to get back the life of her husband. In fact, in today's age, if a modern lady, uncultured lady, she is told that if her husband is going to die, and you have choice, you can get the life of her husband, the number of years of the husband remaining, you can take. And she will be happy to take that, because she can enjoy more. So there was Srila Prabhupada was against this woman's liberation. Srila Prabhupada called woman's liberation as not woman's liberation, but woman's exploitation. Why? Because the whole idea is to get the lady on the street and exploit her. So a nice example, one more example I can think about is of a real example of one girl, a 12-year-old girl, long back. She was born in a very rich family, but at the age of 12, in one accident, all her relatives, including her parents, they lost their life. So at the age of 12, she lost everything, all the relatives, and she was alone, having the great fortune of having such a wealth. But as you know, when the wealth comes and you don't have intelligence much to handle the wealth, you get disrupted. So this lady, this girl, in due course of time, she became astray, she became wild, and instead of becoming a chaste lady, she became literally a prostitute. In a sense, she was marrying so many male, divorcing, she was enjoying life like anything. And at the fag end of the life, when she was very old, she was alone in her home. Her only companion was her pet leopard. And then she died rich. And when this news came in the media, and she was projected as a very dynamic lady who knew how to use her wealth. In fact, in the Hollywood, they decided to make a film on this lady. And all the top actresses of Hollywood, they were watching. They wanted to play the role of this lady in that particular film. So we can see such a dramatic change. The Vedic culture where chastity was given so much importance, the example of Satyavan, Savitri, then Renuka, and then so on and so forth. And today's role models are such ladies who have nothing to do with chastity. They are away from them. I recently got a mail from a devotee about this one former boxing champion, Muhammad Ali. And this is about Muhammad Ali's interaction with his own daughter. So one time this young daughter came to Muhammad Ali and she was not wearing proper clothes. So Muhammad Ali called the daughter next to him. And then he gave some examples to him to make her understand the very important point. And he told her that, where do you find gold? And she mentioned, in the gold mine. So how do you get the gold? You have to go deep and dig. The gold is well protected by the earth. Where do you get jewels? And she mentioned, we get jewels inside, deep in the ground. Mining, you have to go mining and then it comes out. So Muhammad Ali said, just like anything precious has to be protected. Naturally, it is protected by environment, by things. And to get it is very difficult. To expose that thing is very difficult. Similarly, this Muhammad Ali told his daughter that even chastity of a lady, it is also very sacred. It has to be protected naturally. It has not to be revealed. So there are these examples, even modern day people are appreciating this. So I was hearing a lecture of one devotee, Gauranga Prabhu. He was mentioning about one example about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was once approached by one devotee. And he was asking Prabhupada, why there is so much anxiety in the married life? So Prabhupada said that anxiety is always there, whichever aspect of married life you take. And Prabhupada said, if you marry a very beautiful woman, then what will happen? You'll always have an anxiety because you'll be afraid she'll run away with someone else. And then if you marry an ugly lady, you'll be in anxiety that she's very ugly. You can't enjoy. And then Prabhupada said, and if a person decides, let me not marry, remain a bachelor. He can't be brahmachari also, but a bachelor. If you want to remain a bachelor, then your life will be unfulfilled, unsatisfied. So there will be always anxiety in any case. So anxiety has to be there. So when you're dealing with institution of marriage, there will be always anxieties. So one need not worry. A day before yesterday, Yugatharpu was giving very wonderful examples of institution of marriage, how both husband and wife should cooperate. And husband's loyalty and wife's chastity is important in marriage, in married life. Chanakya Pandit gives a very nice quote. He mentions, the beauty of a kakku is her sweet voice. The beauty of an ugly person is his knowledge. The beauty of an ascetic is his power of forgiveness. And the beauty of a woman is her chastity. So I was referring to Srila Prabhupada's folio, and I was trying to relate how Prabhupada, when he is speaking on Sukanya at any time, during his course of stay in this mortal world. And I saw that Prabhupada was once conversing with Harishavari Prabhu, and Prabhupada discusses about Sukanya. Prabhupada uses Sukanya's chastity as the example for a disciple's chastity to Guru, loyalty to Guru. So Prabhupada was reported by Harishavari Prabhu about one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Nitai Das, who was in Vrindavan, and he was now kind of going to different gurus in Vrindavan, trying to relish something higher. So the report came to Prabhupada that Nitai Das was in Govardhan. And Nitai Das was now preaching to many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who would go for Govardhan Parikrama. And he would tell them, spiritual life means chanting, only chanting. What is the 16 rounds? You should chant 64 rounds. When you chant 64 rounds, then something will come out, you know. Otherwise, there is no chance. So Prabhupada said, what he is saying is right. 16 rounds, we don't say 16 rounds. Prabhupada says, in initiation, we say minimum 16 rounds. Therefore, anyone can chant 64 rounds and remain in ISKCON. And Prabhupada said, but it is very difficult to chant 64 rounds. Prabhupada says, all of you boys and girls, I know you very well. It is very difficult for you. So better is chant some extra rounds, but engage in service and remain loyal to your guru. And then we know that how Nityananda has also deviated from Govardhan. He went back to America to meet his ex-wife. So it happens. Prabhupada said what he said was true. So Prabhupada is quoting Sukhmani's example of chastity with and comparing to the chastity of a disciple. So many times, a disciple might leave his guru and go for some bigger and higher rasas. But Prabhupada would call this as sahajya, cheap, taking spiritual life very cheaply. That is shopping, spiritual shopping. Wherever you get, you feel something good is coming, you go for that and you want to go and accept that shelter. So sahajya tendency is not good. And even if a person becomes sahajya and chants 64 rounds, even if such he exemplifies or shows some tears of ecstasy in his life, Srila Prabhupada says these are all bogus, these are all show bottle. I was reading a lecture of, transcription of a lecture of Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, and he was mentioning that just by dropping tears from the eyes, one does not become a pure devotee. He was mentioning sometimes ladies are very empowered to shed tears. It does not mean that they are all in Mahabhava stage. Just that their nature, their emotions are like that, they always can shed tears. So Mahabhava is something highest. But if someone starts shedding tears of Mahabhava, so-called Mahabhava, then those tears will wash away the conclusions of the Vedas which he has learned from his original spiritual master. And then Maharaj made a nice fun of the whole thing. He quoted a nice poem which he spontaneously made. It was very nice. So I wanted to share it with you. Maharaj mentioning, Radhanath Maharaj, so sometimes when people chant the holy name, they try to cry. You are not supposed to try to cry. And immediately Maharaj made a poem. Do not try to cry or spiritually you may die. And Krishna will say goodbye and Maya will say hi. So it's better to remain dry and this is not a lie. And Chandramouli Swami, who was sitting next to Maharaj, says, do not ask why. So this is something about sahajism, remaining chaste to one's guru and also remaining chaste to one's spouse, husband. So there are many examples in the Vedic culture about chastity. We'll refer to some of the examples. Prabhupada was mentioning about Sukanya Devi, her chastity to the wife, chastity to her husband. And Prabhupada also was mentioning about Durga Devi's chastity. Prabhupada gives example that how once Lord Shiva, who is the husband of Durga Devi, and she, Durga Devi, is giving so much opulence to her devotees. But Lord Shiva is sitting under a tree. He does not have a house also. So people came and they said, Lord Shiva, you are married now. You should have a house. So Lord Shiva decided, okay, let me have a house. So Lord Shiva did not have to go for a job and take a loan, all those things. His wife was Durga Devi. So immediately Lord Shiva and Durga Devi made a house of gold, Prabhupada says. So they were about to enter the house, then they decided, oh, as an ideal husband and wife, we should invite guests, sadhus, to our house for Grah Pravesh. So immediately all the sadhus come, especially Gargamuni and his entourage of devotees come. And there is a big bhandara, a lot of prasad is distributed. So Gargamuni is the first one to come. And Prabhupada says, Gargamuni and all his disciples were so hungry, they literally ate all the food which was there for the Grah Pravesh Puja. And Lord Shiva was confused. I made such a huge arrangement for a feast and this fellow has eaten everything. And then Gargamuni said, okay, I am satisfied, but now what about Dakshina? So Lord Shiva said, oh, in my house nothing is left now. What to give now? So Lord Shiva, he came out of his house with Durga Devi and gave the gold house as Dakshina to Gargamuni. So Prabhupada said, Durga Devi is so chaste, she did not leave Lord Shiva and ran away. Durga Devi, even though she is giving material opulences to all her devotees, upasaks, worshippers, she remains under a tree next to Lord Shiva. That is the chastity of Durga Devi. In the South Indian tradition, in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, we hear so many examples of chastity. I'd like to narrate example of Kuresh. Kuresh was a very important, well-known disciple of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And Kuresh also had a very chaste wife. Her name was Lakshmi Devi. So the story goes like this, that one time in Kanchipuram, while Kanchipurna was fanning Varadaraj and Lakshmi Devi, that time Lakshmi Devi heard a very big sound, a sound of a gate closing. That was in the night time. So Lakshmi Devi was a little intrigued, so she inquired from Kanchipurna, what kind of sound is this? And Kanchipurna mentioned about how near Kanchipuram there is one Kura, one land of Kura, and there is a ruler of Kura called Kuresh. And he is so charitable that 365 days in a year, his whole kingdom is open for charity. In the early morning, as soon as sun rises, he opens his gate, a huge gate. And in the dead of the night, he closes the gate. The whole day, anyone can come and ask charity. And Lakshmi Devi was very much moved by this charitable disposition of Kuresh. And he told Kanchipurna, go and tell Kuresh that Lakshmi Devi wants to meet him. So Kanchipurna went and told Kuresh that Lakshmi Devi wants to meet you. And Kuresh was not ecstatic, thinking that, oh, Lakshmi wants to meet me. But Kuresh was thinking that, what kind of charity I am giving? You know, I am such a useless person. I am show bottle. That Lakshmi Devi, I have just attracted Lakshmi Devi just by show bottle spirituality. I would love if Lakshmi Devi would actually call me for some service, not for being attracted to my charitable disposition. And what charity I am giving? Ultimately, everything belongs to Lakshmi, goddess of fortune. And he became so displeased. Instead of going and meeting Lakshmi Devi in the Varadaraj temple at Kanchipuram, he told his wife, her name also was Lakshmi Devi, that we don't deserve to live in this kingdom because our so-called charity has taken us away from real Krishna consciousness. So better that we leave this and go to some other place. So they immediately, in the same day, they left all the kingdom and they were walking towards Srirangam and they went via to the forest. And it's mentioned that how he was very happy that now nothing is in his hands and he was going to serve, his devotional service is going to be pure, unmotivated. So on the way to the forest, via forest, while Kuresh was very happy and fearless, his wife was very fearful, and she told Kuresh that first time in our life we are walking barefoot in a forest. Are you not afraid? So Kuresh asked her that fear is only when you have something valuable with you. And then Kuresh asked Lakshmi that, are you carrying some valuable with you? And Lakshmi said, yes, I'm carrying a silver glass with me. She said, why? Because I thought in case you need water on the way, I need some glass so that I can fetch water. And Kuresh told that because you have something with you, therefore you are very fearful. Immediately relinquish that glass, throw the glass away, and there won't be any fear. So immediately Lakshmi Devi threw the glass away, and then they could go to Srirangam. So when Kuresh reached Srirangam, he was always in the background, never went ahead to tell everyone that I am the Kuresh, the land, the king of Kura. And he was doing Madhukari, begging alms in different places. And whatever little minor he could get from any place, he would subsist on that. One day it was heavily raining and Kuresh could not go out much for Madhukari. So when he went out for some time, that time Lakshmi Devi in her heart was thinking that my husband is today hungry. He will not get any food. And suddenly she heard some bell singing. And that was the offering time of Ranganath at Srirangam. And she just thought that my husband is a great devotee, very nice devotee of Ranganath. And Ranganath is now getting nice bhoga offering. What if Ranganath arranges something good for my husband to eat so that he can also be satisfied? She just thought of it. When she thought of it, Ranganath heard this thought. And immediately Ranganath told the pujari who was offering that after you offer this bhoga, take this prasad in palanquin to the house, to the hut of Kuresh and Lakshmi, and deliver it to them. So the big procession comes with all the musical instruments and the prasad comes. So Kuresh, he becomes a little surprised. Suddenly, how come how can Prasad come here with procession? There has to be some mystery here. And so Kuresh asked Lakshmi, did you ever pray to Lord Ranganath for Prasad? And Lakshmi Devi said, I could not see you hungry, and therefore I just thought of it. Of course, Kuresh also knew that his wife was right in her own role, that she was worrying about her husband. So Kuresh did not chastise her, but told her that next time she should not pray. And it is mentioned that Kuresh honored little, just because the Prasad had come, little he honored that Prasad. And remaining everything he told, you eat. Told his wife to eat. And because the wife was forced, so she ate. And because the Sri Sampradaya Acharya mentioned, because the Prasad of Sri Ranganath was eaten by first Kuresh and the remnants were taken by his wife Lakshmi Devi. In due course of time, Lakshmi became pregnant and she got two children. And Shripad Ramanujacharya, when he came to know about this, then he understood that these children are not ordinary children because they have come from the Mahaprasad of Ranganath. And therefore, he named them one as Vyasa and other as Parashara. And this was one of the desires which Yamunacharya had wanted to Ramanujacharya to fulfill, that he wanted one of his disciples to be named as Parashara. So these children were well known in the whole Ranganath temple as children of Lord Ranganath. In fact, at some point of time, Lord Ranganath would desire that the children should come and sit in the altar along with him. And sometimes devotees would come for darshan. And they would see Lord Ranganath sitting and sleeping on the Anandashayan pose. And then they would see two cradles. And they would see two children there. So they were very intrigued, who these children were? How can some ordinary children are there in the altar of Lord Ranganath? And then everyone told them, these are not ordinary children. These are children of Lord Ranganath. And this Parashar Muni went on to become the next successor of Ramanujacharya. After Ramanujacharya, the leader of Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya was Parashar Muni. So we can see the power of lady's chastity. She got two great children who were the emblem of great devotion of Lord Ranganath. There are many more examples. I was referring to one lecture of Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, where he was mentioning that when Srirangam, during Srirangam era, the whole era when Srirangam was attacked twice by Mughal kings, the first time the Srirangam temple was attacked, Sultan of Delhi, he was able to take the Utsava deities of Srirangam to Delhi. The Mughal kings would go and capture many temples and destroy them and take all the deities and throw all the deities in the godown. So this Utsava deity was taken. Actually, Lord Ranganath is huge, around some 8 feet long, Sri Ranganath is there. So when the Sultan was attacking Sri Rangam, the devotees covered the altar of Ranganath with bricks. So the Sultan could not understand that behind the bricks there was the actual deity. So the Utsava deity was kept in front and the Sultan took the Utsava deities with him to Delhi. So there was one lady, very devoted lady to Sri Ranganath, she wanted to go and check out where the deity is. So she took the dress and garb of a lady of that race. And she perfectly acted as if she is from that race. And she went to the darbar of the Mughal king, Sultan. And there she acted just like that ordinary courtesan. And then in due course of time, she got the news that how the deity is in the godown. In fact, the subedar and the soldiers of the Sultan's army, they came and just pushed the deities in the godown. And every time they would come and dump some new jewelry or some loot on the deity. But the next time they would come, they would see that the deity would be on the top of the loot. And they were thinking that we last time got so much of wealth and just dumped it on this particular idol. And suddenly now no one has entered it and this room and the idol is again in the front. On the top, and they kept on doing for a long time. So many loots they would get and dump it, and again the deity would come on the top. And this deity got attracted the attention of the daughter of the Sultan, and she became very much enticed, captivated by the beauty of this deity, and she would secretly go and worship this deity also. So this lady who had gone to get some message of where the deity is, she came back to Srirangam and she informed the pujaris. So the pujaris went as ordinary musicians and perform a great grand music music performance for the Sultan of Delhi. And he became very happy. He said, what do you want? He said, we want that DT. Sultan said, okay, no problem. So many DTs are there. Take it back. But by this time, the daughter of the Sultan was so much attached to this DT, she could not leave without the DT. And Sultan had ordered that you go ahead, take the DT. So the pujaris knew that the Sultan can change his mind any time. So immediately they took the DT and ran. And they also knew that a daughter wanted the DT back. So Sultan said that I have given the word to them, they are taking the DT, now they are already on the way. What you can do is, you can go along with the DT till the time, till the point where they reach Srirangam and bring the DT back. So I promise them my word is true, and then you also go with the soldiers and get the DT back. However, the Brahmanas Pujaris knew this. So in the middle only they just took some different route and they hid the DT. And it is mentioned the DT never came for 75 years to Srirangam. But this lady came to Srirangam and she was so unhappy that DT is not there. She never left Srirangam. In fact, she was feeling so much separation as if she has lost her own husband. And she left her body there in Srirangam. And Ranganath was so pleased by the devotion of this girl that he informed the pujaris that actually she is also one of my consorts. She is also one of my wife. So even today also she is worshipped in the Srirangam temple. Her name was Thuluka. Thuluka. So there is a temple of Thuluka Nachiyar, Lakshmi Devi. She is considered as the expansion of Lakshmi. And she is worshipped. And even today also the pujaris of Srirangam, they in the morning have a special worship. This pujari say that our Ranganath went to this Sultan king and he got spoiled there because he was in the rule of Mughals. So therefore, in the morning, just to honor Thuluka Nachiyar, we offer Ranganathji bread, pav, because the Mughals are very well known for eating pav in their life. So in the morning, there is an offering called as offering of a pav and makhan, butter, which they offer to Lord Ranganath. And when they offer to Lord Ranganath, they also put a lungi on Lord Ranganath. As if he's a part of that race. So that's the offering which is still continuing to even today. This story happened long back, 500 years back. There is one more story of a chaste lady. This is later. This is about Aurangzeb attacking Srirangam. And that time there was a great massacre. Aurangzeb had deputed his subedar to come and loot Srirangam. And this treacherous subedar actually killed 12,000 Vaishnavas in Srirangam. And that time also, they had put the brick wall around Lord Ranganath, and they had enough opportunity to hid the Utsav DT also. So this Jamindar, this Subedar was so angry that he was actually every day causing more and more violence to the remaining people in Srirangam, wanting to know where the DT is. So there's one lady who was very beautiful and very chaste, and she wanted to somehow kill this Subedar. So she went and told Subedar, who was also very lusty, that I am ready to enjoy with you. And I know where the DT is. I can give you all the information. So a person who is lusty, he always gets carried away because of lust. His intelligence does not work. So the lady said, well, I'll tell you where it is. And the lady took the Subedar. And it is mentioned that she started climbing the Gopuram, the tall tower, which is on the east side gate of Srirangam city. And she kept on climbing, and she told Subedar, come, keep coming with me, because I can show from the top. It's around 140 feet height, Gopuram. From top, I will show you where the DT is hidden. So this person was so mad after this lady. He did not think much. He just kept climbing. And from the top, when they reached the top, this lady said, so you can see from very far away that place, there is a DT there. And Subedar said, oh, I can't see you. I can't see properly. He said, okay, you come ahead a little more, see properly. And when he was very busy seeing, this lady pushed the Subedar. And Subedar fell all the way from 140 feet high, and his skull cracked, he died on the spot. And this lady was on the top, and she was thinking that I have committed a great sin. I have pushed a man from the Gopuram, and he has died in the temple of Vishnu. So I am so sinful, I should also die from the same spot. And she also jumped from the same spot, but nothing happened to her. Scratchless. Lord Ranganath had protected this lady. And Lord Ranganath became so happy. Actually, when Subedar died, all the soldiers who were so confused, what happened, why Subedar had died, they had no leader, so they left Srirangam, went back to their Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb. So Ranganath called all the pujaris and told them that this lady is a very important lady. She actually risked her chastity and she protected all the devotees in Srirangam. So I want you that whatever is her desire, fulfill that desire. So the pujaris went and told her that Ranganath wants to give you something. And she was so sad that, you know, it's an opportunity to serve, why I should ask something. But she was pressurized. And she happened to come from a very low class family. So she told that how, when I die, let the fire which is burning a body, let the fire be taken from the kitchen of Lord Ranganath and my body be burned by that fire. And not only me, all the descendants of my family should also get that special rights. So even today also in that family, whenever someone dies, the fire comes from the kitchen of Lord Ranganath and the fire is put on the dead body. So there are many examples, we are running short of time. One small story I would like to quote is that of one of the Alwars of Sri Sampradaya. The 12 Alwars of Sri Sampradaya, 11 of the Alwars were in the male body and one, the 12th one, was a female. So her name was Andal. And it is mentioned she was born in Sri Veliputtur. Sri Veliputtur comes in Tamil Nadu. And it is mentioned that she was born to another great devotee who was also Alwar, whose name was Vishnu Chitta. So Vishnu Chitta, he was a very simple Brahman in Sri Veliputtur and he would, as an occupation, his occupation was only to serve Lord Vishnu. So he had a beautiful deity of Lord Vishnu in his house. And he knew he didn't have money to offer anything, so he started growing tulsi leaves, tulsi plant in his garden. So he would grow tulsi plant in his garden, he had a big land, and whatever tulsi would come, he would offer the tulsi, making a garland, offer it to the deity. That was his deity worship. Because he knew, if you want to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the best is to offer tulsi. So this was a story which was narrated by Radhanath Maharaj. He was mentioning that how he remembers that when he was a pujari in New Vrindavan, that time also, Srila Prabhupada had sent two shaligrams to New Vrindavan. And then he had told one devotee to tell the pujari there that how he should worship the two shaligrams. The two shaligrams were one Hiranyagarbha and other was Sudarshan Chakra. And Srila Prabhupada had told Radhanath Swami through this devotee that shaligram worship means one should worship, one should first bathe the shaligram with water mixed with rose water, and then one should massage shaligram with sandalwood oil, and then one should offer chandan, and one should offer tulsi. And Srila Prabhupada told that devotee to make this point very emphatic, that nothing is there, the most important point in the worship of shaligram is tulsi. More and more tulsi is offered, that is best for shaligram. So Maharaj is recollecting this point that how Srila Prabhupada was also emphasizing. Deity worship means the use of Tulsi Maharani more. Because she is a pure devotee, when she is and the devotion, and when she is offered, the devotion is complete. Deity worship is complete, incomplete rather, when there is no Tulsi offered to the Lord. Even the Bhoga, Krishna does not accept. Tulsi is there, Krishna accepts. Even if the Bhoga will be too salty or too much sugar or nothing is there, Krishna will accept it because Tulsi is there. So Vishnu Chitta knew this art that he should offer Tulsi. Now, as this lady, this child, what happened is when once Vishnu Chitta was plowing his land to grow more tulsi plants, at that time, from the land, a box, he found a box. And in that box, a beautiful girl he found. And this girl was later to become Andal. Her name was Andal. And she was none other than the expansion of Bhumi Devi. So she grew up, she was around 10 years age. And her daily practice would be that his father would arrange all the paraphernalia for the worship of deities. And one of the main paraphernalia was a tulsi garland. So without the knowledge of her father, she would carry the tulsi garland with her. And she would go to the mirror and she would wear herself the tulsi garland. And she would see how beautiful she was looking. And whether the tulsi garland will also look beautiful on Lord Vishnu. And she would remove and keep that garland back. This happened for many days. And Vishnu Chitta never knew this. And one day, he realized that this was happening. And he became so angry that, why are you doing all these things? And he was he chastised his daughter. But later, Lord Vishnu, his own deity came in his dream and said, why are you chastising her? You don't know that she's very dear to me. Actually, She likes me and she wants me as her husband. And therefore, I want you that every day, all the garlands which you offer me, first you give it to her, she should wear, and then I will wear her Mahaprasad. So this was the devotion of Andal. So when Andal became marriageable age, Vishnu Chit was worried how to marry this girl. And then he went to her and told that, I want to get you married. And then she said, I cannot marry any mortal man. I can only marry Lord Vishnu. I said, oh, but how can I marry you, Lord Vishnu? It is impractical. And at the same time, Lord Ranganath, he, in a dream to the pujaris, told them that you should go to Sri Velluputtur and you should, on my behalf, propose for this girl. So Lord Ranganath also proposes sometimes. So he proposed to this girl, and in a palanquin, get her here, and I want to marry her. So the news spread far and wide that there's a beautiful lady born there, Andal, and Lord Ranganath wants to marry her. So beautiful palanquin went all the way to Sri Velluputtur, and it is mentioned because she was the expansion of Goddess of Fortune, and therefore the whole palanquin was covered totally. No one could see her. She should directly come and the beauty should be revealed to Lord Ranganath only. So she came in the palanquin. The palanquin directly came in the altar, and the palanquin was opened, the curtain was opened, and she stepped out. When the pujaris saw this beautiful lady coming inside, they were really mesmerized, the spiritual potency of this girl. This is not an ordinary girl, they could realize. And then she went and she climbed on the Ananta Shesh, and she sat at the feet of Lord Ranganath, and then she disappeared. And then Lord Ranganath told the pujaris later that they should worship her as one of the main consorts of her. So even today also there is a temple of Andal there. So we are narrating examples of a chaste lady. I think so we have overcome and time is not much left. We'll end here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.